Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 271, part 2, the conclusion to Snares. Today is Sunday, December 16th, 2012.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
There is another snare. Family first snares. I wonder how many works go down the drain. Not too long ago, last year, I was getting letters in by the dozens and phone calls and all kinds of things. Boy, I'm glad I didn't fall into that snare. Glory to God, am I glad I didn't fall into that snare. Just look what's happened. Now, preacher, you might lose your reputation, but you stay right in there. I'll tell you why. Come right down to it, folks. It's just the way we are. Come right down to it. When the mud hits the wall, when you, having done all, stand in something that isn't too popular, you might lose your family. I'm not saying that out of sadness either. I'm just saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. There's no sadness there at all. You know what the real sadness is, preachers? When you go off like a wimpo. You crawl off into some old corner over there, see? Just to satisfy folks. Be a nice grandpa and behave yourself. Well, maybe I ain't a nice grandpa. I don't know. I suppose I'm as good as any other. Say amen, somebody. Well, I know what I've been called to do, and I didn't fall into a snare over 2 years now. Look at all that's happened in 2 years' time. I even got my joy back. Is that possible? Oh, yeah, it's possible. With God, all things are possible. Because, see, that might be giving your life to gain it. Props. different Boyds. Yeah, I heard someone on the radio just say, well, you're a different Boyd. Well, that's all right. I might be a bald eagle. Maybe another has lasciviousness, or maybe a sensual habit, another pride. Oh, that's a good one, ain't it? Pride. You know, even a hobo can have pride. They can have all the holes in the fingers in their gloves and an old dirty hat tipped back. Huh? And then hold them fingers just right with some old dirty cigar and flick the ashes just right, and they can just talk right up. Huh? Maybe it's pride. And then some are naturally melancholy and love solitude. And so Satan gets him to wrap himself up in solitary dignity. And you know what he says? He says, I am holy. Lord, I thank thee that I am not like other men. Or then on the other hand, if you can't get a man with pride, he takes him with sluggardism and slothfulness. And so this man likes the easy life, and then Satan baits him with bed and Pepsi, maybe an imaginary ill. I have never seen more Americans with bad backs. You ask somebody to pick up anything over 2 pounds, I can't, I got a bad back. Now, I know there is such a thing as a bad back, because I had one. Are you hearing this? But I think there's a lot of people that cover up in their covers with an imaginary ill. And he says, sit still. Fold your arms, relax. Taking it easy. Sit, fold your hand, twiddle your thumbs. Some kind of an imaginary ill. You know, you can lie to yourself so long about being ill that you really believe it yourself. Huh? You can lie to yourself so long that you actually believe it yourself and you actually get the pain. Your body responds to what you tell it. And so you end up crawling around. Oh, oh, oh God. Oh my God. Oh God. And you telegraph to your body, you're old. Well, you want to talk old and think old, you're going to be old. Now, I know you get old anyway if you keep, even if you talk young, but it'll come on a whole lot slower. I'm retarding it with all my might. And so anyway, this man is wasted away with slothfulness. Yeah, Satan, you know, he knows people and adapts his bait accordingly. Just like a fisherman. Well, let's try it. And he gets inside of a little box. And, oh, here's a little feathery little bait. And then I'll put that on there. No, nothing's biting. Oh, we better try this other one. Yeah, them old bullheads, they bite on them worms and dough balls. Them old catfish and them old bullheads and carp. We'll have to put some flies on, do some fly fishing. We get some of them crappies and some of them sunfish. You know, it's just the right kind of bait. And so you see, you are led on. I think a lot of times we condemn a thing in another person that we allow in ourselves. Maybe without even knowing it. Boy, that's a sour person. And we can be the most sourest person there is. And we say, look how proud that person is. And our pride is still there. It's just a different color and a different shape. Or maybe we're rich and he doesn't tempt us with money. But you know, he tempts us to be hard with people. Hard employers. Hard to get, unforgiving. Why can't others have my abilities? My God, I am so sick of these nincompoops. That's another kind of pride, isn't it? Or with the pride of being generous. Maybe we boast of our kindnesses. How much that we have given away. And so he will always adapt his trap to his man and his bait to his bird. He knows every weak point that we have. Well, he's been at it for 6,000 years, you know. I mean, he's had a lot of experience. He is of a very giant intellect. Well, he's a fallen spirit. And so let us bless God today that his word says, surely, isn't that music? Surely, say that word, surely, he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. And so also, I think the fowler is many times connected with pleasure. And not only pleasure, but profit and advantage. And so in the bird's case, he scatters seed on the ground, don't you see? And the bird enters the snare. And you know, he lures him right to his death. Well, maybe you're saying, oh, I can't give this up. It's too much fun. It's so pleasant. It's so satisfying. Maybe you're a brand new Christian. Well, you beware of Satan's poison, because they are not only tried, they are tested, and they work. He knows what you will swallow. If your thing is drugs, that's exactly what he's going to offer you. If he knows that you're an alcoholic, he'll say, well, drink it, but drink it in moderation. Now, you alcoholics know that you cannot drink in moderation. Can't be done. You cannot drink in moderation, and you can't give it up for yourself. You have to give your life, whatever your life is, drinking or drugs or whatever it is, give your life for a friend. No greater love of the man, he would die for a friend, give his life for a friend. You have to give it up for a friend. Don't give it up for yourself. A lot of times you don't like yourself that much, or you'll tell yourself you don't like yourself that much. You can go ahead and do your thing. Oh, I hate myself. I'm going to go out and drink. I'm going to go out and do this or that. No, you're doing it for someone else. You're giving your life for a friend. Then he offers money fiends little deals that can lead to big falls. Then again, he also uses decoy ducks and duck calls. Honk, honk, honk. Now you see someone you respect. And he's doing something you didn't expect. And so you're led on. He never picks a wicked man as a decoy. Never. Be too obvious. You know, he picks Dudley Do-Rights. How many are hearing this? And so we follow suit after this decoy. After this no mercy, knock him down, throw him on the mat, beat him up, show no mercy, decoy. Those are snares and those are decoys and they are false. Don't follow after them. And so be careful of your best friends. They may be decoys. Be independent and say with Joshua, Let others do what they will. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And look out if deceit and craftiness, if that don't work, you know what he'll do? He'll go hawking after his bird. You know what hawking is? If he can't get you to commit a sin, he will slander you. You know how easy it is to slander somebody? All you have to do is slander. Just say something. That's all you have to do. You start it. It could be a damnable lie. And all you have to do is start the ball rolling. Tell people what they want to hear. There is no protection against it. They could start a story about you, sir, sitting right here and say that you murdered someone. And it would go all over. And you know you couldn't prove your way out of that thing? And you, ma'am, they could claim that you were a whore. Do you think you could claim otherwise? That you, sir, were an embezzler? Do you think that they would believe you while you work in a bank, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Prove it. Prove it. If Satan can't get you one way, he will get you another. Too bad that he's got Christians now laying snares for one another. Traps. Pitfalls. You know what to do if you're slandered? You're all right and already now. We just called like we called it like it already was. You were a whore and you're a murderer and you are an embezzler from your bank. You know what to do in regards to what we just said there? Nothing. Keep quiet. Keep quiet. Say nothing. That's what God says. Say nothing till you hear from me. Say nothing till you hear from me, la da 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 da, huh? Don't say anything. Don't fuss. Don't sue. Don't fight, because people will believe the hawk anyway. Stay above the hawk so it can't sweep down and destroy you. Yep! Today the Bible says, in high and heavenly places, hidden in the cleft of the rock. And listen, anyway, if we turn to look at every chirping old crow, we would do nothing but answer them. Don't be crow's bait. Don't pay no attention to it. You know, if I would fight people every time they disagreed, I would amuse the devil and waste time. And so, Christians, let us not quarrel and debate and bicker and fight and prove a point. After all, we're called to preach the gospel. Not contend with one another like wrestlers. Behold how they love one another, and you've got a neck hold on somebody and a finger in their mouth, and you've got their eye pulled out and their ear stretched out. Isn't that asinine? Who's ever going to believe you when you start to preach about the love and the mercy and the forgiveness, and behold how they love one another? Who's going to listen? You have made the blood of Jesus Christ of none effect. You have trampled through. Don't waste time. Time's a wasted. Well, anyway, if a fool believes slander against you, go on and ask for grace to keep quiet. Shut up. Now, we must all look, Christians, to the Holy Ghost to help us avoid such snares, because they're always going to be there. You know, when you enter the slander snare is when you enter into bickering and fighting. Don't enter into it. That's when you enter in. Even the world knows that. Give them enough rope, or maybe that comes from Judas. Give them enough rope and they'll hang themselves. Do you believe that? Oh, I do. Oh, yes, I do. I believe it because it's true. And so now let's get into the deliverance. I think there's two thoughts from and out of, and first is the best, and second, I believe, is a blessing beyond the surely. It says, he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. And how does he do that? Very often by trouble. To hedge you off at the pass. There was this painter, and he was on the edge of this huge scaffold. It was way up. It was just sort of like a board. And, you know, he stood back to admire what he was doing. Now, if the friend would have yelled, it would have caused him to fall. You know what the friend did? Here he is. He is standing right on the very edge like this, see? On the very, very edge like this. And if the friend would have yelled, he would have went backwards. You know what he did? The friend took his brush, dipped it in some paint, and he put a smudge mark across that painting. He ruined it. And so the man stepped forward and was saved. Instead of going back, when he didn't yell at him, he went like that, and he put the mark on it, and the guy stepped forward. That's like us. We have just painted a beautiful picture, let's say, and we're stepping back to admire it, and we get prideful, and God knows our backsliding will end in destruction. So maybe one of your family members dies or something like that. Maybe someone becomes ill, or a child goes astray, or a business flops, or a deal falls through, or your car gets stolen, or you lose something, or your job is taken away. Why? So you will probably then rush forward and say, why, God? Why did you ruin my painting? Not knowing all the time that it didn't happen. And if it didn't happen, our lives would have been ruined. If we didn't have those trials and tribulations and different things that hit us off sometimes from the path, pride or some other snare would come on and trip us up. Yeah, I think a lot of people have been saved from ruin by sorrows. Saved from ruin by griefs and troubles and woes and losses and crosses and all have been breaking of the net to set you free. Well, I tell you, there's a whole lot of stealing going on. I remember when I came to the Lord, I had embezzled funds. And I gave it back. Gave it back so I didn't have no money at all. And I think that'd be the beautiful thing to happen right now, to shut all of these snare makers up and everything in certain circles, just give everything back and sell everything that we have and then tell others, well, now, as an example, we've sold everything we have. Can you sell everything? No, don't say that. The Holy Spirit will say it for them. Imagine what would happen. The PTL would just sell everything they have and give it to the poor. Think about it. Wouldn't that give God a lot of glory? It'd do my heart good. Oh, God. Sell all you have. Give your life. And I don't care what your life is. Is it family? Is it money? Is it position? Is it friends? What is it? What is your life? Is it a bottle of beer? Give that up. That ain't so hard. Unless it's your life, you go, God, I gotta have it. I gotta smoke a burn all your clothes up with some stinking weed. Give it up! You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, friend. Just sucking on these things and burning their clothes up. Smelling like an old piece of sweet burnt rope. You can't fool people. I got on the elevator the other day, my place, to go up to my apartment. And I got up there. I was getting in the elevator, and I smelled this sweet, stinking rope stink. You know what I mean? How many know what I'm talking about? Sweet stink. You can't cover it up. I couldn't contain myself. I said, pee you! Boy, that dope stinks, don't it? Pew! P-E-U! I didn't say it in a judging way. I just merely stunk. It just stunk. I know it stinks! Your clothes stink! Yeah, I think many times we are saved from ruin by sorrows and griefs and troubles and woes and losses and crosses and tribulation and suffering and all of that. He set you free from the snare of the fowler. And I think also God keeps us from the sin of the fowler by giving us the great spiritual strength, having done all stand. That spirit of great courage. Take courage by the hand. And so that when we're tempted to sin against God, we start to think, how can I sin against my beautiful God? But he also delivers us out of the snare. Return, O thou backsliding children, and I will have mercy upon you. You know, the Bible tells us that God is married to the backslider. Well, how about me? I've been faithful. Don't get into L.D. Felder. L.D. Felder, the elder son that stayed outside of the feast and was left outside as perfect as he was in keeping the law and digging all the ditches and bringing all the sheep and currying them out and doing everything around the farm, but he had not love. He was a great person, but he stunk. Return, O thou backsliding children, and I will have mercy upon you. Call out to God, and he will answer. Now, we always think other people need mercy, don't we? Oh, God, give them mercy. I need it all the time. How many in here need mercy? You don't need mercy, you won't even make it into heaven. It's the mercy of God that even puts up with us. But remember, in closing here, the word surely. Surely he will deliver us. And why? Because he promised to do it. That's why. And also Jesus Christ has taken an oath that he will do it and that he will stand over his word to guarantee it. Aren't you proud of Jesus? Isn't he beautiful? And so we say to Satan, I back off. No one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. Nobody. I had people call up, what was the name of that tape today? And it was something about the legalist and so on like that. You can tell they're all, some of them are almost mad. It's about the legalist. Huh? And then I go over and I just call them and say, it was this tape or that tape. Goodbye. I don't get into conversations. Now, I'll tell you something here, Christian world. Christ Jesus and the church are one, one body. And we are his body. And so can Satan cut away the Christian's body? No way. It's connected to the head. We are his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, the Bible says. If then the whole church were not gathered in, it would be an incomplete Christ. The whole church will be gathered in. See, they must all be saved. Hallelujah. None, the Bible says, of God's people shall ever be cast away. Praise God. The whole grace message rests on this. Satan, you are the fowler. God will tear your net up and destroy and reveal your snares, for surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. That's a comfort. That is a comfort above all comforts, isn't it? Oh, good, then I'm just going to go jump into a great big old snare. Well, it ain't comfortable being there, let me tell you. Well, yeah, but I'll be delivered. Yeah, you sure will be. Right? Oh, hey, people listen on radio. There's a few people out there the devil had used to lay snares. And you know what? Whatsoever that ye sow, so also shall ye reap. Yes, indeedy doodles. Say amen, somebody. Don't be a tool for Satan and lay snares out there. When somebody says something, keep your mouth shut. Be quiet. Study, the Bible says, to be quiet. Study to shut up. And behold the glory of the Lord. Now I know there are people listening on the radio. And they can take that all in. And they just go stick their little toe right in the old snare trap again. It's like curious, like monkeys, you know what I mean? Come on, let's do it together. Safety in numbers. Up they both go. Don't do it. Don't do it. I mean, you're going to end up with legs. I mean, you'll look like you're walking on stilts. You keep it up. God just bless this audience here tonight. Bless each person on the radio, Lord. And thank you that we will surely be delivered from the snare of the fowler. We want to thank you for that message, Lord. We want to thank you that you have done a complete work. Mighty, mighty Lord, in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Who's going to sing? Were you going to sing tonight?
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 271. That was part two, Two Snares. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes and scripture links, so be sure to check those out. Join us every Friday for part one of Pastor Paul's podcast, every Sunday for part two. Next Friday's message, Mount. Have a great week. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to.
to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. It might be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread, maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve.
It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. Still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.